Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Hope you're doing well. And with us today, a couple of guys who have done what I consider almost impossible. You know, we've had a lot of different athletes on here. We've had athletes that are Major League Baseball players. We've had guys that have played in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl. We've had Olympians on here. But these two guys that we have today are local guys, Dan LeClaire and Tim Hoflinger. And they were part of an eight-man team that just recently completed the Race Across America. Now, this is a bicycle race. And, of course, we didn't talk a lot about their bicycles when they were here, but I would imagine they're pretty much the sleek models that you would need. But they were part of an eight-man team that in 7 days rode from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. And of course, when you do that, you've got all kinds of territory. You've got to go hills, valleys. You've got heat. They ran into hailstorm, fog. They had just about every possible obstacle they could have. And these guys have just completed this in the last few days, the Race Across America. And Tim and Dan both have been longtime friends. And just to know what they did was such an amazing feat that I thought you'd want to hear more about it yourself, so we invited them to come on the show. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the story about the Race Across America that Tim and Dan and their six team members were a part of most recently. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today we have with us a couple of guys that are good friends of mine who have accomplished what I would think to be the impossible. They have been involved with what is called the Race Across America. Dan LeClaire and Tim Hoflinger are here. And Tim's the one that put it together. Tim, did I get your name right? Hoflinger?
Hoflinger.
Let's call you Hoflinger.
It's phonetically correct if you're
Tim Hoflinger and Dan LeClaire. They are two cyclists. They're part of an eight-man team that just concluded a Race Across America, a race that I think took, 7 days and 4 hours. Is that correct?
Yeah.
From Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. First of all, guys, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Tim, tell me the logistics of how this worked. I know it was a 24/7 thing, literally, but I know that there was one team on, one team off. Kind of tell us a little bit the logistically of how this worked.
Yeah, so the way we did it, there are several different ways you can compete in the race. You can do it individually, which I think is absolutely crazy. Two-man team, four-man team, or eight-man. And we decided to go with the eight-man team. And so what we did is we broke it into 2 4-man groups. So there were 4 cyclists per group and 4 crew members per group. And we would ride for 8 to 12 hours, basically, and then we would hand off to the other group, and that would allow the group that was riding to get rest and food and things like that.
Now, it was a sprint. You were racing, so you're not exactly on a leisurely tour out there. And also, when you say 8 to 12 hours, you weren't on the bike for 8 straight hours, were you? Or you traded off among your team members?
Correct. There was one person on the road at a time. Now, you can choose to have more on the road at a time if you want, but we decided to go one at a time. Other than when we went through our hometown of Columbus, we had 3 cyclists on the road at a time just so we could pass through our hometown all as a group.
You raced all day and all night, and you raced for 12 hours on the other team. Did you ever have any time when you stayed overnight somewhere or stayed for a few hours, got any sleep? Where did you sleep? Where did you eat? How'd that happen?
We averaged about 3.5 hours of sleep per day during this. So that was actually one of the most challenging things for me. Oh, yeah. was the sleep deprivation. Compared to, you know, the cycling was difficult, but compared to the sleep deprivation, I would say that was more difficult. So we would stay in hotels. We would drive ahead to kind of where we thought we would be getting the handoff from the other team, and we ate, you know, just wherever it was available for the day, the evening. You know, we would ride. Our group, Dan's group and mine, ended up riding a lot of times through the night. That ended up just being how it worked out, which I preferred because then we didn't have to deal with the heat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I heard you guys had some obstacles. In fact, I heard, 115 degrees, maybe 120 yeah. degree heat at one point. You caught a heat wave. I saw that on the Weather Channel. You caught a heat wave even for them.
Right.
Where was that at? That was in California?
Yeah, that was out west. California, Arizona, Utah, kind of is where we hit the big high numbers. Our other group actually had 123 degrees reading on their vehicle's temperature wow. gauge.
Dan, tell me a little bit about how you got involved in this. Now, this is Tim's idea, I think. Is that right, Tim?
Yeah.
This is Tim's idea. Dan, how did he get you into this?
A mutual friend who is in my church small group mentioned that she had been talking to Tim and that he was interested in doing Race Across America. And, you know, Race Across America started in 1982. Well, I remember when it started because Wide World of Sports would cover it. And so I was intrigued by it because I did long distance cycling where I would take very long trips of maybe 1,000 miles, but those are leisurely. and so this race always intrigued me. Well, she mentioned that Tim was considering that. And I think I called you that night. I mean, or I at least sent him a message saying, hey, I want to talk to you. Because I thought, you know, if he's looking to put together a team, I'm going to be one of the older team members, but I wanted to certainly find out more about it. And we met. And so I guess I was either team member number two or three, something like that. But I was on board pretty early. I was ready to do it.
Now, Tim, how hard was it to recruit? Was eight a number that you were shooting for, or did you just kind of cut it off at eight, or how did that happen?
Eight's the maximum that they will allow. They did allow a few years ago a team of nine, but they were all under 18, which is why they allowed that. So it took quite a while to recruit all eight. And in fact, we were at seven for a very long time. And I just kind of had resigned to the idea that we would be riding with seven instead of eight. And then we finally found our last rider, who's actually my cousin who lives out in Colorado.
Yeah. Now tell me about the guys that were on the team. You guys are all varied, all different businessmen. I know a couple of guys I know. I know Troy Love was on your team. He's a policeman from Columbus.
Correct.
Grant Watson's on your team.
Yes.
He's been in the Hawaii Ironman a couple of times, I think.
Six or seven, I think.
And how old? Grant's in his 60s, is
65.
That right?
65 years old.
Tell me about the other guys on the team. Those are the guys that I know. Who else were the other guys, and where did they come from?
We had six local guys. We had myself and Dan. We had Brian Starnes, Troy Love, Slade Crowder, and who's the sixth? Am I missing?
Grant.
Wow. Grant Watson.
And then we had a friend of mine from Michigan and my cousin from Colorado.
So you had a really diverse group.
Yeah, and our crew, we had our crew chief was from Alabama, and we had two of our crew from Arizona.
Yeah.
So we're spread out.
So you had eight crew members also, right?
Yes.
So there were 16 people.
16 total people.
Now, Dan, I know you ran into some obstacles. We talked about the heat, and I was reading your posts on Facebook, which were amazing. Your humor came through quite well, and I don't know how hard it was to be humorous on this trip, but tell me about the obstacles. I understand you hit a hailstorm in Kansas.
Yeah, that was the other squad. We had just gotten off the bikes, and we knew that some storms were coming up, and they'd taken over. And so we were in Eastern Colorado, and they got hit by a hailstorm that when we saw the warning, it said that this was life-threatening, injury was possible. You had to get in a shelter. Troy got hit. Troy Love, you mentioned. Troy Love got hit by some hail. One of our crew members, Kyle Gilbert, here in town, they both got hit. The van that they were riding in has got some pretty significant dents
wow.
in it. So it was golf ball. It was reported as golf ball to tennis ball size hail.
Man, oh, man. And was there ever a time Tim, was there ever a time, you were the leader of this, was there ever a time when the team just wasn't getting along, where there were some, where you just kind of had some dynamics of trying to pull this group together, maybe out in the middle of the USA somewhere?
It's an interesting question, because I felt like, you know, we had two groups. Each group seemed to gel really well together. There really wasn't a lot of tension within our groups, but there, it was difficult to communicate sometimes between the two groups, you know, where the meeting place was going to be, or, you know, when our trade-off was going to be. And so I noticed, and of course, with the sleep deprivation, that affects people's emotions sometimes, and, you know, it tends to amplify the effect of kind of what you're feeling. So there wasn't, I never really noticed any tension with our group or within the other group. It was just between trying to communicate sometimes was difficult.
Our guests are Dan LeClaire and Tim Hoeflinger, two cyclists on an 8-man team that just concluded a race across America, where they raced from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland in 7 days. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this trip and about how it affected them. So don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face, and guys, as I was reading, I was just fascinated by it. I like to get on my bike and ride about 10 miles and feel good about it and get off. There have been times when I was much, much younger, I thought that might be interesting, but there's got to be so many positives with that. In fact, you and I all know Scott Wilson, and Scott told me that he was on a similar trip, and that one of the greatest moments he had was riding across the Arizona desert at night where the sky just came alive. I assume you guys had kind of a similar experience. Dan, what did you feel about that?
Yeah, in fact, that would probably be one of them, too, because if you imagine, you know, almost no light pollution, and here you are in the middle of the night and looking up at all the stars, I remember that. You know, a couple things come to mind. We also, besides the heat wave, we also hit the remnants of the tropical storm. So we were coming over the Appalachian Mountains through the night in the midst of a tropical storm, the remnants of that. So that was a pretty miserable night. But in fact, that was a very miserable night. But I remember that next morning we had what RAM calls in the book they give you that of directions said this is the hardest part of RAM coming up, and there are four climbs that they even said, look, experienced riders even sometimes have to walk up this, which we didn't, but I remember after that storm had passed, I was doing, I think we all did, about one of the climbs, and I was going up through the mountains. Storm had passed, it was early in the morning. Birds were singing, and had this long climb. And I just remember thinking, wow, it's been now 7 days of doing this. It all runs together. But I just remember thinking, I get to do this. I mean, as hard as it's been, I thought, what a privilege to get to be this witness and just to get the opportunity to do this with such a wonderful group of individuals.
Yeah, you did it, Tim, you did it for Youth for Christ. Let's talk a little bit. Of course, I was involved with Youth for Christ for many, many years. But what was your motivation to do it for Youth for Christ?
Well, I've been on staff with Youth for Christ for just over 6 years now, and I have absolutely fallen in love with the ministry of Youth for Christ. And really, where this was born was from, I was out on a bike ride about 4 years ago, and I felt like God was just saying to me, I want you to ride your bike across America and try and raise money for an investment fund for Youth for Christ. And so as I began to really dig into what that meant and pray about that and seek His will, it became evident that the race across America was the way to do it. And it was really awesome. One of the things that Youth for Christ has been really pushing with their staff in the last couple of years is just an empowering of volunteer leaders to reach more teens. And this was a beautiful picture of empowering volunteer leaders, even though it wasn't in direct ministry with teens, although we did have one teen on the trip who is doing this as part of his senior project, who has been impacted by the ministry of Youth for Christ, it was evident that empowering was taking place. You know, fundraising was happening through everyone. We had an atheist on the trip.
Really?
And he was able to do some really great fundraising for Youth for Christ, which surprised me and just delighted me to know that this man was doing his part to raise funds, because he'd sent me a text earlier in the year and said, even atheists believe in the teachings of Jesus. And that just really struck a chord with me, knowing that even though he doesn't believe that there's a God, he believes that what Jesus taught was valuable.
Tell me a little bit, Dan, I may have asked you this before, but for both of you, there had to be ups and downs emotionally. Not that's kind of a play on words there. You certainly had ups and downs. Yeah. There certainly had to be ups and downs. You told me your high point. What would you say was your low point?
You know, I don't know whether this is the low point. Yeah, by the way, there's over 100,000, 120,000 feet of elevation that you climb over the span. I don't think there was really a down moment. There was a moment of doubt, and I think for most riders it's the same. It's right at the start, because everybody, you've got some incredibly talented riders right there at the starting line, and you look at them, they're at Oceanside, and it doesn't matter whether the solo people had already taken off, but it doesn't matter whether they're the two, the four, or the eight-person teams, they all look scared, because they don't know whether they can do this or not. Slade Crowder and I did the very first segment of about 25 miles, and it was a lot of climbing right off the bat, and I certainly had my doubts. I thought, okay, what have I gotten myself into? I'd love to go back and do that now, just because I'd love to experience it, because I think I'd kind of feel more the joy of it, not the fear. But I think everybody, you know, when you're faced with something that you have never done before, and you have no metric, you have no way of knowing how you're going to do, there's some natural fear. But I think that was right at the starting line. Once it kind of got started after that, it was a challenge, but I don't ever remember going, oh wow, can we get this done or not?
Where did prayer fit into this? There had to be you had to be out there praying. Did you ever have a feeling of Lord, I just can't do this anymore, but you're going to get me through it?
I think Paul's notion of praying without ceasing definitely was a part of this. I remember feeling out west, you know, kind of going, once we had gotten over the mountains, really, the Rockies.
And by the way, I'll interject, you say the Appalachians are tougher than the Rockies.
They were steeper.
Yeah.
They weren't as long, the climbs were not as long, but they were definitely by far steeper climbs. So it just adds an element of difficulty where, as you can kind of get into a rhythm in the Rockies and you can kind of get your RPMs going, and whereas in the Appalachians, I mean, your pitch goes so high that sometimes you're just doing everything you can just to keep the bike upright.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Descents are different too. The descents can be very frightening. Out west, it were these long, sweeping, long descents, and you might be running. Well, Troy Love was running 60 miles an hour at one point, and all of us were probably at different times running 45 or 50. But it's these long descents. You get into the Appalachians, you've got hairpin turns, and it's just a different experience.
And not only that, I heard you understand in the Appalachians, you're getting to a place to where you're trying to get to the end, and you had the tropical storm Cindy or something like that, knocked a tree over, and you had power lines down and everything else.
We actually had to, they rerouted the race, and so we had to, what they call shuttling, we drove to the designated point where the race officials said we needed to go, and then somebody else got out on the road, and that was honestly, for me, I wouldn't say I was thinking that we weren't going to accomplish it because we were so close to the finish, but that was the one point in the race where I was just feeling like, really? We've already ridden all this way, and this is going to be hard enough, and now we're riding at night in the rain and fog in the Appalachians. You know, all these things.
Yeah,
just,
the fog.
I thought, oh, man. Yeah. Seriously. But I honestly, during that time, I had one of the best climbs I've ever had. I just kept pushing myself and increasing my gears and going up this mountain. And I did like a 6-mile climb and just never felt like I got to my limit. I felt like I could fly.
Tell me a little bit, Dan, about your Christian faith. Tell me when you came to know Jesus Christ.
It was through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So when I was in high school, 1973, I was at FCA camp in Rome, Georgia. And soon after coming back, made a commitment to Christ, and then felt like really eventually giving back to FCA. So I was on FCA staff for about 3 years here in Indiana, which we had a biking ministry during that. And so, one of my very first experiences with a Christian ministry was through an offshoot of Wandering Wheels out of Taylor University, which is called The Spokesman. So I did my first bike trip when I was 14 years old. Yeah. So that really set the seeds. And in a few weeks, we're having the 40th anniversary of the last Spokesman trip. So be fun to get to see some of those people again.
Tim, you've done it. You've accomplished it. You're through. It had to be kind of an emotional letdown. What was it like coming through the gate in Annapolis, Maryland? Mm. I think all eight of you came in together.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what your feeling was like. And Dan, you can chip in too as to what was it like going through that gate?
It was really cool. So the way they do it, your race actually ends several miles behind the city dock. And so one rider comes in, they go to the finish, they ride down to this gas station, and we just waited there for a little while. Seemed like we waited there for about an hour for an escort that would lead us into the dock. And we were coming through around 7 o'clock at night. So the atmosphere was just fun. You know, it was Saturday night down on the city dock in Annapolis. All eight riders are coming through. People are cheering for us. I mean, it just felt like the Tour de France. You know, people clapping for you, cheering. So we come through the finish arch, and they brought us up on stage and kind of did a little interview with us. And it was just, it was this, certainly a sense of accomplishment, but also a sense of relief.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we can relax now. We can enjoy this moment. I had heard a rumor that the team was trying to find out a way. We had the sparkling grape juice that my wife had provided for our team. I had heard a rumor that the team was trying to figure out a way to spray me with it, but they decided not to.
They decided not to stick it. Tell me, was there a verse, and this is the way we'll wrap it up. Our time is pretty well over, but what was the verse, an overriding verse? Tim, you told me you had one. What was the overriding verse that kind of went along with the team?
Yeah, so to give a little backstory, I've lived in Columbus for 15 years, and this is the first year that I ever saw a bald eagle in Columbus. And it was out while riding and or driving, and every time I was hit with the verse in Isaiah that says, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint."
That's a terrific verse. Goes along perfectly, and God certainly is with you guys. Thanks for spending time with us, Dan LeClaire and Tim Hoflinger, and we'll hope to, I'm sure we'll be talking again and finding out more about your trip. We will take a break and be back, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. You know, I love riding my bike, and I don't even put myself in any sort of class with these guys, but they probably averaged around 20, 25 miles an hour, and there's been a couple of times when on my bike I have hit 20 or 25 miles an hour, and it just amazes me that you could do that for so long. These two guys and their team members are to be commended for doing such an amazing job, and for doing it in the name of Christ. That's the wonderful thing. You know that Philippians 4:13 verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." That seems to be, I don't know that I could do that, and I don't know that that verse could apply to me, because I don't know that I could ever in my wildest dreams do what these guys did. If you want to know a little bit more about what they did, you can go and see, I think, a little bit on their website at Southern Hills Youth for Christ. And I think you'll see some pictures about their trip and about their expedition, their adventure. So hope you'll check that out. You can also spend some time on our website, facetofaceradio.com, and we hope that you'll do that. There are just so many Christian athletes out there, and the media just doesn't really want to hear about it. In fact, as my friend Daniel Murphy of the Washington Nationals said one time, that when he does interviews, he doesn't talk about God. He talks about Jesus Christ, because a lot of times it's like throwing snakes on a table. A lot of the media does not want to hear about that. But we're here to tell you that there is Jesus Christ in just about every single sport that we can think of. And keep listening to Face to Face, you'll hear about it. Well, as we wrap up our show today, I found a verse that kind of goes along with what we were talking about in this race. And it's from Romans 8, 38 and 39. Here's what it says. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Two great verses saying that no matter what we do, there is tremendous mercy and grace out there. And Jesus loves us, wants to take care of us. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, we hope that you'll do that. We hope that you'll take time, even today, and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And of course, he's already done that, but to accept him as your personal Savior, and you will never regret that moment. I can guarantee it. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.